This is The Takeaway. I'm Indira Lakshmanan of the Poynter Institute in This Week. Todd Zwillick is back on Monday. Thanks so much for listening. We begin this hour with a conversation about secession. This isn't a revisiting of the Civil War or a renewed debate about Texas's independence. Secession is something that is happening right now in municipalities across the country, where communities are seeking to pull out of larger school districts to provide what they see as a better education for their kids. Since 2000, 71 communities nationwide have tried to secede. 47 of those cases were successful. The remainder were dropped, defeated, or tied up in courts.
Well, I really believe that the public education is the cornerstone of any community.
That's David Pickler of Germantown, Tennessee. He has firsthand experience with school district secession. He was the chairman of the Board of Education of Shelby County in Tennessee, a county that now includes Memphis. Memphis used to have its own school district that was much poorer and had more students of color than the surrounding areas, but the city district merged with the surrounding county a few years ago. A year later, six Memphis suburbs that were part of the original whiter and wealthier Shelby County district got permission from the state legislature to secede into their own six smaller districts. David Pickler is from one of those suburbs.
And so what they really did was not really secede from the larger district that had been forced upon them, but it really was to preserve the independence that they believed that they had as a right of citizens to be able to have the kind of education in their communities that they wanted.
How did the economic and ethnic racial diversity of Shelby County and these six suburbs compare to the larger Memphis school system into which they had been absorbed?
Taking as an aggregate, the six communities that were part of the old Shelby County district had a racial makeup that was basically about 49% Caucasian and about 51% a mix of African-American, Hispanic, Asian-American. It was a highly diverse school system. It was a district that also was growing in socioeconomic diversity. We had over 30% of our school system that was on free and reduced price lunch. The old Memphis city school system was a district that was about 92% African-American and nearly 100% free and reduced price lunch.
What was the new economic and racial diversity of these six new school districts?
And Indira, those six districts did account for probably 90% of the former population of the old Shelby County district. So that's why I said in aggregate, districts that would probably be well in excess of 45% non-Caucasian. So there's not a significant difference in the racial makeup and the diversity in the six independent municipal districts as opposed to the complexity and the nature of the old Shelby County district.
And each of them had roughly 30% free and reduced lunch, low-income children, you're saying?
Now, I would say in terms of the economic diversity, the socioeconomic background, we had more concentration of the low-income students in a couple of those six districts. So it was not as evenly dispersed among the six districts. But in terms of the racial diversity, then the racial diversity was fairly evenly spread out among the six communities.
Now, schools elsewhere have asked your advice on how to secede from their larger districts. Starting a new school district from scratch costs money. Districts have to raise taxes. What do you tell them about the costs versus the benefits?
One of the things that we have learned about public education, and I had the honor a few years ago serving as the president of the National School Boards Association. So I traveled all over America, you know, advocating for public education. And I believe fervently that public education is the single most important responsibility of government. And so what we've learned about public education is if you have communities where you have strong public schools, this is a magnet for growth and for development. Yes, you will probably see your property tax rates go up. You probably will see the costs associated with the government increase. But what you also will see is higher property values, greater community engagement. Those local community priorities can be a building block for making their community stronger and better and more efficient.
Now, you have said that Shelby County never wanted to merge with Memphis City in the first place. How much of that honestly had to do with socioeconomic status or race of the larger Memphis City district?
It had absolutely nothing to do with the racial components or the socioeconomics. What it really came down to was this. We had a district in Shelby County that was effective, efficient, was high functioning, and was delivering great results for our community. Ultimately, political agendas beyond our control dictated that that would no longer be allowed. The issue was not about race, was not about economics. We were a highly diverse district. The issue was about academic quality, about preserving public education as the fabric of our community and making high-quality public education our aim, no matter where we were dealing with in terms of the socioeconomic background, as well as the racial background, the ethnic background. Our objective was to educate children and to provide that local component of leadership to ensure that high-quality education was what it was all about.
So it turned out well for the students in the six districts of Shelby County that seceded. Do you worry that the children of the Memphis district ended up paying the price so the kids in the six districts of Shelby County could benefit?
Oh, there's no question, Indira. The focus that was lost for the children of the city of Memphis, to me, is the greatest tragedy of all. And ultimately, I do believe that the children of the city of Memphis were the victims, not because of the decision to form the independent districts that was made by the six local communities. That was not the reason that they may have suffered. It was the wrong-headed decision-making by the former school board in Memphis and by those power brokers within the city of Memphis who were pursuing an economic and political agenda that ultimately the children of the city of Memphis were pawns in their process.
David Pickler served as the last chairman of the Shelby County Board of Education before it merged with the Memphis schools, and he's a former president of the National School Board Association. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now let's look at the bigger picture. Erica Wilson is the Reef Ivey Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and she studied this phenomenon of school district secession across the country. She says while proponents of the practice want a better education for their kids, it comes at a cost to the districts and the children left behind.
So it's important to understand that the secession movement itself is not new. In the aftermath of Brown versus Board of Education, a number municipalities attempted to secede from larger county-based school districts, particularly in the South, in order to avoid desegregation or integrating. So the Supreme Court put a halt to that with a ruling that found that secession was not permissible if the effect of the secession would be to impede desegregation efforts. But fast forward here in 2017, and a number of the school systems that were previously being monitored by federal courts to make sure that they are properly desegregating are no longer under federal court supervision. So what that's meant is that as demographics have changed and there are more students of color in our public schools, some municipalities have creatively found ways to isolate resources to separate from larger numbers of students of color. And so that's where this new secession movement is taking place. I like to call it the new school segregation. It is a new form, but same substance.
It sort of feels, though, that in a way, there were decades and decades of efforts to segregate in the 20th century that involved redlining, denying blacks mortgages and financial services, in all sorts of ways that had already segregated neighborhoods, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And it's also important to understand that the secession movement is only successful and segregating schools because students attend school for the most part where they live. Because we have high levels of residential segregation between cities or between municipalities, then when a municipality leaves a larger county-based district and forms its own district, by virtue of the fact that our city boundary lines are for the most part racially circumscribed, the school district boundary lines will be as well when they are able to secede.
Erica, David Pickler mentioned a more efficient school bureaucracy as one of the arguments in favor of secession. Is that backed up by your research?
It's actually, in many ways, more inefficient to create a smaller school system because you have to duplicate the same infrastructure in order to support the school system, but you're educating a smaller number of children. So it essentially costs more per dollar to do that. The other important part to consider is the resource drain that is taken away from the district from which the municipality is seceding, particularly with respect to teachers. When a school system secedes, it leaves the county-based or the place from which it's seceding on the hook for things like retirement costs that may move over to a new school district. So in many ways, it's inefficient in terms of the duplication of services and the increased costs.
So where is secession happening today and on what scale? How many states have laws on the books that allow secession?
The policy landscape for secession is somewhat of a mixed bag. So there are about 30 states that have explicit policies on the books. In the states that don't have explicit policies on the books regarding secession, the default understanding is that the state legislature has authority to decide if and on what terms school districts can secede. So it's an ever-increasing number of municipalities who are attempting to secede or who have successfully seceded.
I was looking at a map of where secession has most taken place, and I was struck that a lot of these districts have been in Maine and in Alabama. And specifically, in the Birmingham, Alabama area alone, 8 towns have withdrawn or tried to withdraw from their districts since the 1950s. Is there something about Alabama that makes it easier for small towns to secede from larger districts?
Yes. Alabama is one of the states that makes secession relatively easy. In order to secede under Alabama law, you only need to show that you have a municipality of a certain size level and that you would essentially be able to sustain your own school district. And so particularly in the Birmingham area, the Jefferson County school system had not until recently put up much opposition to attempts by municipalities in that county to secede. And so especially with respect to Alabama, I don't think you can analyze this without looking at the racial history. That particular county, Jefferson County, where Birmingham is located, is still under a federal court desegregation order, has a pretty sordid history of resisting school desegregation. In fact, their first attempt to try and secede actually came very shortly after Brown, and they've only continued the trend.
Erica Wilson, law professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.